Welcome to the Ike Packers podcast.
Go Pack Go.
No longer a backup. Where does Jordan Love stack up?
Go Pack Go.
Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. Please leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed the show. We're IKE_Packers on Twitter. Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. Today we're diving into the league's best quarterbacks, the top 10 list. Where does Jordan Love fall? Is he on the list? What about other Packers and other positional groups? Will we touch on that as well? Bringing you the latest news and more. Welcome back to the Ike Packers podcast. Let's get into today's show. Here we go. Packers podcast. My name is Alex Eichstead. I'm your host, and Packers fans, we have a quarterbacks episode today. We're going to be running down the league's list, top 10 list that came out from ESPN, touching on Jordan Love and more. We're also going to be touching about, you know, this workout that we saw going on at the team, some of the other players on the roster and where they rank in the top list in the league as well. So I'm excited. It's going to be a great episode. I've got KJ here with me. KJ, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Packers fans, what is going on? It's great to be back with you all. I just got back from a weekend trip to Iowa, and full disclosure, it was my first time ever being in Iowa. And this is where, like, Lucas Van Ness made his name. Exactly. And my thoughts, my reflections were, one, there's not much there. Two, the people are pretty friendly. But three, there's just not that much there. So, you know, there's not much there to do but play football. And it was like a cool thing to just, like, the reason I went is because we saw some friends, but, like, I wanted to just see it. You know, I've never been to Iowa despite living in Wisconsin. And I'm glad I did that. But that's where Lucas Van Ness came from. And you can be safe to say that he's not really street racing like Jalen Carter and some of the Georgia football team players, you know, just getting into mischief off the field. Like, there's a very, in Iowa, you kind of just pick your thing and you pursue it. You know, like, people are there, they're usually working. You know, if they're in one of the cities, whether it's like Iowa City or Des Moines or something, they're usually there for a purpose. They're not really, like, you know, just chilling there, right? And so it's just interesting. I just wanted to add that, but thanks for having me. Alex, what were you going to say?
Yeah, you triggered something I saw earlier in the week. That Bleacher Report put out that they think Lucas Van Ness is going to be the Packers' biggest bust of the season. I was like, what? Based on what? Based on the fact that he didn't start. That's what the article mostly said, is that he's going to have a tough time trying to, like, overpower NFL offensive tackles and stuff.
I think,
it doesn't hurt to have a really young guy. He's young, right? This is kind of what you do. You draft the young guy. He's super athletic. And like you said, KJ, he's just going to work hard and have a good attitude. You know, like, that's like a winning culture. If you can coach him, like, he's going to turn into a good player for your locker room regardless. I think he's going to be pretty good. What do you think? I don't think he's going to be a bust by any means. He's another pass rusher.
If they talk about him not starting, it's just because they needed a guy, they needed to get the article done, and they didn't do much research. This is the way Iowa operates their team. They like to bring, you know, they like to let the upperclassmen kind of, like, reap the benefits of their hard work over the years. And when they have talented underclassmen, they're going to get them involved. But it's very much like a traditional program over there. And they're not getting these guys, you know, they're not paying them like a gajillion dollars in NIL money to sign there. It's very much like a merit-based thing and also a rite of passage-based thing. So Lucas Van Ness, yeah, I'm optimistic. I mean, if anything, to me, the word that's used is like, that should be used is like hidden. You know, there's multiple levels of this guy being hidden and still showcasing production, still showcasing upsides, still showcasing
tackles.
Speed. He was hidden at Iowa. I mean, I had never even been to Iowa, man, you know, and I'm glad I went. But, like, I'm sure a lot of people listen to this pod. Like, how many of y'all have been to Iowa? It's going to be interesting to hear the results. But beyond that, he wasn't even a starter on his team, you know. So it's like he wasn't playing for a top tier team like in Alabama, Ohio State. He was playing for a middle tier team, which is Iowa. He wasn't starting on that team, and he was located in a state far away from the microscope. To me, this kind of screams Alden Smith. You know, obviously Alden Smith was doing some stuff off the field, but he was very similar coming out of Missouri. Like, Missouri and Iowa are very similar football programs in terms of, like, where they stand, right? Like, maybe Missouri's in a little bit more of a popular state, Yeah, they're both black and yellow. That's just, like a branding thing. But, you know, they were kind of, like, middle tier in their conference. So there was, like, the Big 12 when they were there, or now they're in the SEC. They're middle tier every once in a while to put together a good season. And they'll consistently put people in the pros, right? It's very similar to Iowa, but they had this pass rusher named Alden Smith. And, like, no one could stop him, but no one really knew much about him because he would only play limited snap counts. And if you remember him on the 49ers, he would throw NFL players and NFL tackles around. I don't think Lucas Van Ness is going to – I'm not going to say he's, like, a bust, man, because I don't believe it with any fiber of my being. You know, there's certain times when you get a draft pick and you're like, dear Lord, give me strength on this one. You know, because it reminds me of when, to take it to the NBA. Demarius Randle was one of them, you know, but in the NBA when DeMarcus Cousins was on the Kings and the Kings drafted Papagiannis from Greece with the 13th overall pick in the lottery, and they're just like trying to pair talent around DeMarcus Cousins, and DeMarcus Cousins tweets out, Lord, give me strength. And, you know, there are draft picks you've felt that for. Like, to me, the second round was kind of making me trust in the plan and testing my patience, right? You get Musgrave ahead of Darnell Washington. You get Jaden Reed ahead of Jalen Hyatt.
Go back and listen to those episodes. Ooh,
I really got to trust in the plan now because I am hot. I'm heated. You know, like Faggus Hands. If you go back and listen to our draft recap episodes, they are some priceless material. but yeah, I don't believe with any fiber of my being that Lucas Van Ness is going to be a bust. And coming from Bleacher Report with that kind of analysis, oh, he didn't start. Like, they just threw some kid on here and said, hey, type up this article. And this kid's like, yo, I got to get this done.
And speaking of articles, yeah, we've got a quarterbacks list, Packers fans, that we can touch on. Top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Jordan Love was not on the list, but he was working out with Aaron Jones and Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, and others privately as well as with the team, building chemistry, doing all the things. And to me, Cage, did you see the photos? I saw them, and they're on Ike Packers. He looks like a super athlete. I think people are going to be surprised. We'll get to this poll we put out earlier, Cage, about what Jordan Love can be. Maybe we can start there. We asked Packers fans what Jordan Love is going to be. And I'm just going to read some of these responses because it was absolutely epic.
Tell me why, before we get in there, I'm just going to come in blazing. Tell me why Jordan Love can't be a Justin Herbert. Tell me why he can't. For those of you listening, tell me why. Clearly, Herbert has a stacked offensive supporting cast around him, whether it's Eckler, whether it's, you know, Quentin Johnson, the new draft pick, whether it's Keenan Allen, some players in the Chargers. But, I mean, like, why can't? If you look at Justin Herbert coming out of college and, like, Jordan Love now, I think Jordan Love could easily do what Justin Herbert's done, in my opinion. And, like, that's a lot. That's impressive. But go ahead, Alex.
This is my hot take for the week. Here's my hot take for the week. Packers fans, you know, you're playing Madden and, you know, you would see all of a sudden the Packers franchise would, like, have rotated quarterbacks down in the future. And they would end up, you know, with a mobile athletic quarterback, a big specimen quarterback. That's what we have with Jordan Love, Cage. It's that era. When I saw him standing next to Aaron Jones, he is huge. That's exactly why I say he can be Justin Herbert. He's a better athlete. He's a better athlete. When I look at the two of them, Jordan Love can make all the throws, and he's probably going to be a little harder to bring down. And I think that's going to be surprising to a lot of people. Someone did say that. They said, I think he's going to be surprisingly good. And that's kind of how I felt, is he's going to surprise people. That's what I think. I think people are counting him out, and he's going to come in a lot sharper than people think. What do you think? I mean, before we jump into the comments,
I'm just optimistic, man. You know, I'm not gonna I'm not gonna say I really know what to expect. I don't. But like you said, he's a very athletic guy. I think we're gonna see that this year, and we're gonna see a little bit more of Matt LaFleur reflected through onto the field. But yeah, I mean, you look at the top you know, going back to this overall list, which Jordan Love has left off, love the fact that he's just putting in consistent work in the offseason all season long. A Packers player basically said that everybody in the locker room would run through a wall for the guy. And in terms of quotes about your quarterback, that ranks darn near the top of the list. So check that big box off, Packers fans. You've been listening to Leader for the last 15 years. Well, so has, frankly, the Packers organization. Like, so have I. Who knows how many Super Bowls we'd win if we had, you know, I would argue it wasn't necessarily talent. A lot of times it was leadership and just like doing it when it matters most. It's and a being clutch. But Jordan Love is being anointed as a leader before we've really even seen him demonstrate his prowess on the field. But this overall quarterbacks list, it goes number one, Mahomes. That's obvious. He's got multiple rings. He's still young. He's got unlimited physical upside. Then you got Joe Burrow, number two. He doesn't have as much physical ability as Patrick Mahomes, but he certainly is like a stone-cold killer. Reminds me of Tom Brady.
Firmly number two.
Reminds me, and I'm not saying he's going to...
Firm 1-2.
Firm 1-2. Yeah, like I would have. Don't even try and tell me Josh Allen's in the same ballpark as either of those guys, because I don't buy it. I don't see it. Josh Allen's number three. And checking in at number four is Aaron Rodgers, the New York Jets. So he's definitively, like, the number one vet. I think we all knew that at this point with Brady and Breeze gone. All those, you know, older quarterbacks gone. But, yeah, man. You know, Rodgers, the league, the way they look at him as a top four QB, certainly top five. I know certain people ranked him as high as number two, I believe. Others maybe ranked him as low as like 10. But Rodgers is consensus, like a top five quarterback, I would say. And yeah, Packers no longer have that suiting up in the green and gold. But what the list told me, you know, you got guys like Dak Prescott squeaking on the rounding it out. You know, you got guys like Kyler Murray, like, falling off. You got guys like Kirk Cousins being honorable mention, Tua being honorable mention. Like,
Trevor Lawrence, number eight.
Why can't Jordan Love be Tua Tagovailoa or better? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he could easily be better than Kyler Murray. Like, I mean, there's just not a lot of good QBs out there.
I think he could be better than Dak.
I think he could be better than Dak, too. Like, Dak is probably... He's just got a high floor, you know? He definitely doesn't have the ceiling of these other guys, but...
Love has a higher ceiling. That's the whole point here. And
yeah,
I
like,
think...
if Dak is and Kirk Cousins and Tua are kind of squeaking out the top part of this list, meaning, like, the back end of it, I think next year, Jordan Love could easily make an appearance.
Well, here's who they have at five, Justin Herbert. And to me... Okay, then it goes six, Jalen Hurts.
They're scraping.
Yeah, they're scraping.
If you're putting Herbert at number five, man, like...
Straight up,
give
you
me
have
the Chargers
Mahomes
in the playoffs
and Burrow
all day.
That are going to be, you know, storming ahead against each other for a while. Josh Allen probably going to compete against Rodgers, right? Like, how good is 12 going to be?
Bro,
that's
I think 12...
That's interesting.
I think another bold prediction, I think 12 is going to, like, put Josh Allen down. I think he's just going to show, like, just how superior. Dude, Josh Allen, man, you can watch that guy play, and he's so impressive, but there's just something missing. And I don't know if listeners will agree with me on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Josh Allen is certainly, like, probably top three or top four QB. You know, I would say his floor is maybe number four, number five. But, like, there is definitely something missing. You watch Mahomes and Burrow, there's literally nothing
killer?
Missing.
He's
there's
just
nothing
not
missing.
Burrow and Mahomes. That's how I view
it. Yeah,
mean.
It's like
he
it's
truly
like
a, is a killer.
It's, I'm not saying it's like a clumsiness thing. You know, it's just like the ability to kind of get it done when it matters. Like Mahomes has done, like Brady would do, like Joe Burrow was able to do.
I truly haven't seen him like pull off those type of like comebacks.
Yeah, you know, it's, like that. It's something missing and we're about to find out, man, you know, because he got his huge deal. Everyone wants to see him kind of get over the hump. But what's an interesting theme in some of these lists, running backs, right? Aaron Jones left off the top 10. I mean, in
underrated.
Terms of consistency,
criminally underrated.
In terms of consistency, receiving ability, explosive play, big play threat, doing it with a talented QB or non-talented QB, like pass first, run second. Aaron Jones has proven he's like a model of consistency. And also, David Bakhtiari left off the top 10 list of tackles. And Jair Alexander was number four for cornerbacks. And Elton Jenkins was number four for interior offensive linemen. To me, Alex, I'm gonna hit on a theme here. And then you can, you know, give me your thoughts. like all the other years, the Packers players were viewed as like glass half full, you know, like what could work out if things went well. This year, they're being viewed, now that the Rodgers luster has been removed in the eyes of the national media, they're like, look, we're probably not going to be getting as many clicks from Packers content. You know, like that's probably what these beat writers and stuff like, whether it be national ones and ESPN, CBS, stuff like that, or really anyone, like they probably are anticipating a little drop off of clicks. So they're like, why would I, you know, gas up the Packers players as much as in previous years? However, it is kind of telling to me, like, I think Aaron Jones is the biggest snub. I think David Bakhtiari, like, this is a wake-up call. The league just doesn't trust his durability. You know, Joe Schobert said on the Ike Badgers podcast when he had him on, you got to be accountable and you got to be available. Two things with David Bakhtiari is largely lacking, in my humble opinion. But, Alex, what do you think?
I think Aaron Jones is poised for a big year. 4,000-plus rushing yards, 5-plus yards for carry average, 30-plus rushing touchdowns, 200-plus catches. It's almost like he's running on top of a tray.
Kind of like me right now.
Over the last 4 years, this guy has been nothing but a rock-solid guy for, you know, his quarterback. And he's been under the shadow of Aaron Rodgers. He's been so good. I've been calling for him predominantly because of that 5-plus yards per carry average. That's nothing to laugh at. It's like, that's hard. A.J. Dillon just isn't that productive.
Well, and A.J. Dillon was given an honorable mention as well, man. That was the craziest part to me. It's like, if you think Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon are in the same category, maybe they will be. That's gonna be interesting to see.
People have been thinking that for years.
I know.
It's just not true.
It's almost like by association, A.J. Dillon is, like, bumped up a little bit. Unless he busts out this year, man, I mean, he's kind of been fortunate enough to get the run that he has without really breaking out, I would say, as a running back.
Oh, yeah. I think, dude, it's just one of those times you got to feed 33. Feed 33, let him run with it. He's underrated. It's okay. Player that I have no problem, you know, being off list. But, Cage, maybe Packers have a couple players that could be on list next season, right? Like Rashawn Gary. He's an unknown this year. All expectations to the floor for Rashawn. If he comes back week one, week two, hopefully week one, what's stopping him from having a great year? You know what I'm saying?
Dude, Rashawn could pop up into that top five on the list.
That's what I'm saying.
You know who else will come on the list, in my opinion? Quay Walker. I think he's going to get on the list in the next year. Fast forward one more year, I think he's going to get on the list. But the Packers, in terms of like thematic review, we are not getting the benefit of the doubt anymore, at least this offseason. You know, like, Jaire Alexander being ranked number 4 after he completely shut down Justin Jefferson, when you're ranking Jalen Ramsey ahead of him, is like, that's add an insult to injury. So it just tells me the Packers are not going to get any breaks, man.
Jalen Ramsey, Sauce Gardner was ranked ahead of Jaire. That's criminal.
See, I don't think...
That's federal.
I think
Sauce
just,
Gardner is not a top 3 corner.
He's just
got to
prove it. He definitely can be. He may be. I'm just saying, I'm not, like, hating on Sauce. Like, I believe in Sauce. I think he could be better than Jaire. But, like, you got to give respect to Jaire's consistency.
Yeah, you take the best 5-10 receivers in the league, line them up against, you know, Jaire, or line them up against Sauce Gardner. I guarantee you Jaire Alexander is the better cornerback. That's my money, Packers fans. Am I crazy for saying that? Write us in. I think that's Jets bias. This is exactly what KG was saying, right? The clicks now are going to the Jets.
Yep, the clicks have been dispersed from the Packers, and they've been reallocated towards the Jets. So, Packers fans, we're going to need everyone to bring it extra hard this year.
Well, they're also going now, Case, to the Titans, because breaking news, you know, the Titans signed overnight wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins to a 2-year, $26 million deal. Worth up to $32 million in incentives. I saw this in the morning. What did you think when you saw it?
I was pretty upset, man. I mean, not pretty upset because I didn't expect DeAndre to come to the pack. I was upset when I saw the number. I was like, $13 million? $13 million for DeAndre Hopkins? Come on, man. We gotta take some chances. You know, we got to throw our hat in the ring at some point. It sounds to me like the Packers organization, like, yes, we have our cap problems, trust me, but every other team in the NFL is very, you know, they're able to maneuver, whether they're contending or whether they're not.
Yeah.
And, like, it just depends on how creative you want to get. Like, maybe that means having David Bakhtiari or Kenny Clark taking a restructure, you know, like a pay cut. Who knows what it is? Like, if we added DeAndre Hopkins to the team, it instantly makes us a more formidable offense and a more formidable squad in general. We need something like this. It tells me that the Packers front office is like, look, we are entrenched for 2023. You know, we are going to be in these same jobs next season, no matter how bad this goes, which I'm not necessarily in agreement with. But it seems like there's no real urgency to win now. This is almost like a assessment year. Right? It's like when you get to college and they're saying, hey, you know, look to the guy on your left, look to the guy on your right. Like, one of you is not going to be here in a year's time. Like, they're weeding out the players, you know, like the pieces for the future. But I don't really believe in that. I think that if you have to always be opportunistic in life and in sports, especially in sports and especially in life. But like when a player like DeAndre Hopkins, a game changer, is scooped up by another contender with a, I would say, equally as mediocre quarterback or like unproven quarterback for $13 million. It just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. You know, I don't like missing out on opportunities like that. Because guess why, Packers fans? If I go and splash the cash to the tune of $13 million per year for DeAndre Hopkins on a short-term deal and he ends up busting, guess who gets the last laugh? Literally nobody, because it's such a low-risk deal. You know, if you're paying him 23 a year, then I look like a clown if it doesn't work out. But $13 million, it's like, yo, DeAndre, you got to show up, man. You know, you got to do better than that. That's not like on the Packers management. Any management that gets DeAndre Hopkins on this kind of deal, I'd say did a great job. Yeah. I really would. What do you
think? When you put it like that, that was pretty crystal clear. I believe, Cage, that... we're going to find out exactly who is the strong leader on this Packers team when things go south at some point in the season. There is no more Rodgers, right? Like, is Love going to be able to withstand, like, collapsing and going 4-13 or something? Is Aaron Jones a strong enough leader? I don't know. Like, defensively, Jaire Alexander, how will his leadership carry to the defense? How good will this defense be? Or does the defense kind of follow the success of the offense and the leader in the locker room and it got like 12, right? Like, it's truly going to be fascinating, but I feel like the defense has to know they need to step up, right? They need to like overcompensate.
Well, man, here's what I'm just kind of thinking of now. It feeds exactly from the DeAndre Hopkins point to the greater team conversation and the defense, like you're saying. If you sign a DeAndre Hopkins, it lets every single person in your freaking organization know that you're going for it. Like, you got a weak division, you got the Lions, you got the Vikings, you got the Bears. All three of them are mediocre. Yes, the Lions might be on the rise, but the Pack can win this division. You're not telling me the Pack can't, you know, apply themselves, focus, execute, and win this division. It's a very winnable division, but, like, it signals to everyone, like, you got a shot. You know, we're going for it, and therefore our defense is going to be more focused, even though DeAndre Hopkins doesn't play on the defense. He plays on the offense. But it signals to your team that the objective is playoffs. The objective is to win and get as far as you can, maybe even a Super Bowl. But if you just kind of, like, literally let the receiver room run as bare as it is right now, and I believe in our young guys. I believe in them, but I'm calling a spade
a college.
We need some help. We need some help in there. And it just kind of shows, like, bro, 1 year of mentality, like, okay, well, I guess we're not going for this year. It makes you try a little bit less for most of the people on the team.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's always those guys that are going to play 1,000% every snap. But if, like, look, we're not meant to make the playoffs this year, why would I try so hard? Why would I buy into all these schemes? Why don't I just try and get paid myself and play a little selfish? That's the message you're kind of subconsciously sending in this locker room that, like, look, this isn't really a year we're expecting to win many games. And I don't want those, like, repercussive ways of thinking to, you know, percolate through the Packers mentality when we've had this win now mentality for like 3 decades. Like, we need to keep this up, in my opinion.
Yeah, the mentality's there, but my big concern is if these guys will fracture, right? Like, how good of a leader is Jordan Love? Bringing it back home, because realize, Packers fans, we never got to read off your responses to this tweet about what Jordan Love is going to be. I'm going to hit you with some of these responses. Brad Kern says the starting QB this year for the greatest franchise in the NFL, playing it safe. Sly says MVP. Packers Fan Podcast says a Super Bowl champion. Leo Ray says very good. Don Bacina says eat your words either way. He has 2 years to prove with new extensions. Gut and LaFleur's jobs are on the hot seat. Dan Chavis says a work in progress. Baby Kurt says a Green Bay Packer quarterback. Let me keep going. Craig Sharka says he'll be slightly above average. The Green Bay Packers will win around 8 or 9 games this season, which, considering everything, will be good for the organization. Greg Allen says benched week 10.
I want to actually hit that last point where you said 8 or 9 average. Week 1 last year, and if you rewind week 1 2 years ago, Packers fans, I was going off on Ike Packers podcast because the Packers didn't take the preseason seriously, and they basically got, you know, blown out week 1 back-to-back years. And I said, hey, last year it didn't matter. We ended up winning enough games and getting the number 1 seed where that didn't come back to bite us. I can only hope that this game does not come back to bite us. Week 1 last year when the Packers got their keisters kicked. And sure enough, we end up missing the playoffs by how much? 1 game. And it did come back to bite us. And so it's like that whole mentality of focus, even bringing in a DeAndre Hopkins to like tie the focus to like having a playoff caliber season versus just kind of seeing what happens. It could make the difference in, if it doesn't make the difference in 17 games, it's going to make the difference in 1 or 2 games. Like if you are completely focused, we might just win 1 or 2 extra games and that might get us into the playoffs. Like it's absolutely huge, man. I'm just really kind of upset that DeAndre Hopkins, it would have been fun. It would have been fun.
And,
this 8 or 9 win thing where it's kind of just like the no man's land. Like a player like DeAndre Hopkins, even for what he brings to the locker room, could be the difference in breaking higher than that. And yeah, sorry to interrupt. Keep going.
Centerline Sports says top 10 this year, MVP next year. Cody Moody says surprising. Darren says the Packers' third Hall of Fame quarterback in a row. That's what everyone's hoping for, baby. Nurse says average. Anders Sigurdsson says better than expected, just like Rodgers. That one has 88 favorites.
Jackie, I love that take. Love that take. Thank you for writing that.
Yeah, I think that's like, you know, speaking a little wisdom into the room.
Better than expected. Like, you know, we don't know what he's going to be, but hey, I think he's going to be a little bit better than we all expect.
Yep, Joseph Litchfield says good. He's coming in trained as Rodgers and Favre did. The question is, will he be great? And that's why they play the game. Straight up. I mean, you're giving him his every chance to succeed, right? 3 years trained behind the GOAT, one of the GOATs, and Aaron Rodgers.
Truly, though, if you would have drafted or if you would have signed up a DeAndre, man, that's every chance to succeed. You know, you're like, hey, you got your electric young guys. You got your veteran leader who can just single-handedly destroy a double team. You know, like, and I would say they're giving him a very good chance to succeed. But they're not pulling out all the stops. I really don't see that. You know,
no.
I don't.
Most Americans says nothing short of a Hall of Fame QB. We've got to believe.
We do.
Brock and SB says the QB that gets LaFleur coach of the year.
I want whatever he's got. Hey, pass that over here. Because if LaFleur wins coach of the year, man, you are the fortune seer or the future seer that I didn't think anyone knew existed. You know, I just don't know if he's got that in him. But, hey, I would be over the moon. I would love that if LaFleur won Coach of the Year. But, yeah, I don't know about that one.
You know, Packers fans, today is Josh Myers' 25th birthday. KJ, are you confident in Josh Myers being the Packers center of the future?
This is what I want to say about Josh Myers, because he doesn't deserve me, like, ripping on him, so I'm not going to. And he doesn't deserve, like, yeah, you know, I'm confident in Josh Myers, because I'm really not. But I'll tell you what I think about Josh Myers, Packers fans. This guy was a second-round pick. I believe he's entering year 4 now. And if he himself, like, he's going to be, Jordan Love's success is going to be dependent in a reflection of Josh Myers to a certain extent. So it's like, I just don't want Josh Myers to be the reason Jordan Love might not work out, right? Like, I want Josh Myers to make it easy on Jordan Love, you know, to help Jordan Love be successful and not be a hindrance on him. I want him to be a help and not a hindrance. So that's my thing for Josh Myers, man. Like, if Josh Myers is snapping the ball over Jordan Love's head, if he's letting sacks through, if he's missing his protections, like, boy, Ike Packers will have something to say about that. Don't you worry, Packers fans. Alex, what about you?
Never miss a live
tweet. Happy birthday, Josh. Happy birthday, Josh. Yeah.
But then we'll put the fear of God in you. No, Josh, I think he's Ohio State boy, right? You give him another shot. You keep running him out there. He's not a problem to me. And if he becomes a problem, like you said, Cage, he won't be able to hide it this year. There's no more like Rodgers to kind of like cover it up, right? Like, Rodgers, what are you doing? Even though like Myers snapped it horribly.
Although Jordan Love might be able to like get out of sacks better than Rodgers at this point. So
yeah, it'll be fun to see. I'm excited, Packers fans. You can tell we're excited. We're very happy. We're seeing the engagement tune up. Please share this episode with a friend. That's the number one way you can help us grow. If you like the show, leave a 5-star review. That is also a great way to help. We're going to be there every step of the way with you. KJ, thanks for coming on the show. Any final thoughts today for the listeners?
Packers fans, take this podcast. First of all, thank you for listening from all over the place, from Wisconsin, throughout the USA, throughout the entire world. Take this podcast, hit that share button, and then text it to someone and say, would you have hoped the Packers would have signed DeAndre Hopkins for the deal he got instead of the Titans? That's a great conversation starter this week. You could also ask them if they feel any of those top 10 lists were disrespectful to the Packers. Obviously, Jordan Love did not appear on the quarterback top 10. Aaron Jones appeared as an honorable mention. And then Elgton Jenkins is the fourth best interior lineman. I think that's high praise for him. The league views his versatility as a huge plus in his consistency. The league views David Bakhtiari as kind of like someone with the pedigree, but just like they don't know if he can play these days, you know, because he's missed like over half the games. And that's kind of how the league views him. So he's actually an honorable mention. Like they don't even view him as a top 10 tackle anymore, which is kind of alarming. You know, if I'm David Bakhtiari, I use that as motivation. I stick that in the locker. But you can ask him any of those things. You know, ask him, basically, why can't Jordan Love turn into Justin Herbert?
Pack?
Yeah, you know, like, all sorts of conversation starters. Use Ike Packers as a bridge, Packers fans. That way we can all grow. We can all win. We're going to have a great season this year.
Yep. Thank you for tuning in. As always, we appreciate you. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Ike Packers podcast and want to help the show, please subscribe, tell a friend, and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This is how we can continue to give great value to you. As always, till next time, Packers fans, go. Stop thinking about you. Can't stop thinking about you.